What's up and welcome to the Active Amputee Podcast. Everything people with a limb difference need to live an active and exciting lifestyle. I'm Bjorn Eser, the founder of and shaker and maker behind the Active Amputee. And you're listening to episode number 44. And episode number 44 is all about being out and active in Mother Nature in winter and with an above-knee amputation. So lean back and enjoy. So today is November 15th, and that means it's less than 2 weeks until the beginning of Advent on the one hand and the official start of winter on the other hand, at least meteorologically, if not yet in terms of the calendar. Winter is, in my eyes at least, a great time. I really enjoy it each and every year anew. The long evenings, the cozy hours at home, and the quality time with the family, friends and loved ones. And, as you all know, I'm also someone who likes to spend a lot of time outdoors, especially in winter. Something that is not always easy after a transfemoral amputation. I can well imagine that many of you who are struggling with the various limitations in your lower limbs are hesitant, maybe even fearful, when it comes to being active outdoors in winter. To help you overcome some of these fears and to encourage you to enjoy the winter season with confidence, here are a few tips from me. But before we get started, a quick disclaimer up front. I have been an above-knee amputee since 2005, I think since late September 2005, and I get on very well with my current prosthesis, that's a Genium X3 from Ottobock. I walk a lot and I feel confident doing so, especially off the beaten track. And as I'm otherwise relatively fit, I'm not afraid of falling. If I slip and fall, well, so be it. So the following tips and tricks are things that work for me. Of course, this may be completely different for one or the other of you, so please keep this in mind when you listen to these tips. Here's my personal top 10. So here we go, my 10 tips for all of those among you who want to spend a lot more time outdoors in winter. Tip number 1. As an amputee, the ability to adapt to changing situations, to changing surfaces on the very ground we walk on, and to unexpected challenges when being active in nature, and still feel safe during these times, that doesn't come naturally. It has to be learned, and the good news is that it can be learned. Confidence and the associated feeling of increased safety and a real joy comes with the time and with practice. That means by walking outdoors and by doing so frequently. Tip number 2. By and large, it's relatively clear when we can expect winter, more or less at least. And it is therefore a good idea for all of those who want to be active during the winter season to start practicing in summer or autumn, the latest. Those of you who are confident on paved paths can simply try out uneven forest trails. If you already walk a lot on these uneven paths, simply wait for the next summer or autumn downpour, then jump into your rain gear and try walking on muddy paths and slippery grounds. If you cope well with all these kinds of conditions in your day-to-day life, you can start tackling paths that are steeper, first uphill, then downhill. Maybe on marked paths, and then again maybe cross-country. There are endless possibilities to increase the level of difficulty incrementally. Only by doing this and slowly testing, and yes, sometimes exceeding our own limits, do we learn what the prosthesis does under which circumstances, how we react in certain situations, where we feel safe and confident, and where that is not the case, at least not yet the case. Tip number 3. It's entirely up to you whether you want to try this out on your own or with others by your side. However, I know from others in the limb loss and limb difference community that many of you like to have a helping hand nearby, especially in the beginning when you try out something new. Someone who can provide support from time to time and when needed, but who doesn't force the support on you. So we're already here, tip number 4. No matter where you are in this journey of exploring what is possible, I can imagine that a pair of trekking poles will give you additional confidence and gradually open up doors to areas that would remain closed to you without these. So why not give it a try and see if that's something for you? And here again, try them out in summer or fall before you really need these poles and before gloves, ice, cold and wet conditions make it really difficult and often more frustrating to go through the trial and error period. So, halftime, tip number 5. I would really like to encourage you to not go for the models from the discounters. Get good advice from your local outdoor shop, invest a bit more, and then you will have a pair of helpers that will accompany you for the next couple of years. So far, I have used 2 pairs of trekking poles over the last 17 or maybe even 18 years, and generally speaking, I'm really happy with both pairs. Both of these pairs are still in use, and they do what they're supposed to do. And yes, I just ordered a new pair for more demanding terrain, but more on that maybe in another post. Tip number 6. When it comes to trekking poles, there are a few points that I consider important. Others are secondary, at least in my eyes. Of course, there's the price. You know best what you can and what you're willing to spend. But I think good poles start at around 70 euros a pair. And the good news is that there are always excellent models on offer somewhere for sale. Aluminum or carbon? Well, this is a question of what you're willing to spend, and it obviously has an impact on weight, but it's not as much as many people think. For me, that was never really an issue. I've been using aluminum models all those years because they are just a lot cheaper and they do the job. I've always found it irrelevant whether a pole can be folded up particularly small or not. The couple of inches longer, for me, that really wasn't an issue. Tip number 6. I have always been interested in 2 details when it came to trekking poles. Firstly, the way in which the individual segments of the poles are locked in place. On the one hand, they are screw or split dowels. That means the individual segments are simply twisted against each other, so they're turned against each other. And the dowel opens in one direction and you can adjust the length of the trekking pole. And in the other direction, the dowel expands and then locks in place the pole at the desired length. They are also so-called speed locks or flint locks, I think they are also called. A clamp is fitted to each segment of the telescopic pole. If you flip it in one direction, the segment can be moved freely. If you flick the clamp back in the other direction, all parts are firmly locked in place. All in all, both systems work well, more or less at least. However, I find the speed locks much easier to use, especially in wet and cold weather, with mud on the poles or with freezing and partly numb fingers or when wearing gloves. Now, tip number 7. The second important detail in my eyes is the grip. On the one hand, there are some materials that I like more than others, but I think that's probably more personal choice. So there's cork and foams and plastic materials. In addition, I think it's important that the grip is quite long. This guarantees that you can adapt the pole to changing terrain, that is, for example, short, steep ascents or descents, and you can adapt by simply changing the position of your hand on the grip without having to adjust the length of the trekking pole as such. And I think that is really a must for any good hiking pole. Tip number 8. In addition to the poles, good footwear, and here including a sole with a proper, really good profile, is of course important. Here, please be aware that people with a lower limb prosthesis are usually unable to move the position of their foot. The foot is normally set in a certain position and that's where it stays. When walking downhill, this can be a bit of a challenge because we normally only use the last centimeter or so of the sole of our shoe. This is normally no problem on dry paths. On mud and wet leaves, it's more of a challenge as the foot slips more quickly. On ice and snow then, this quickly becomes a fear factor for many of us. Here too, trekking poles can help by taking the weight of your prosthesis and distributing it to your arms, at least until your foot is secure and you have the feeling you have a firm stand, and then you can move the weight back onto your lower limbs. So don't be surprised if after walk you suddenly have sore muscles in your arms and not in your leg. Tip number 9. If you want even more safety here, you can also use kind of snow chains or spikes that can quickly be attached to your shoes. They are so-called, at least in Germany, they're called Grödel. I'm not sure what that actually is in English. There's a whole range of different models on the market, from what I would consider rather cute straps with 6 or 8 small metal pins per shoe, to much more solid models that look more like small crampons with 14, 16 or even 20 teeth per shoe. Some models are pulled over the boots using strong rubber or silicone straps, such as models from Alpine Locker Chain Pro 18 or something like this. Others use the classic strap system, such as the Gravel Spiders. Which one of these is best suitable for you? Well, that really depends on where you plan to go and which terrain do you expect to encounter. These winter aids for your shoes weigh in at around 250 to 500 grams per pair, so it's up to you to see if the additional security, the additional safety you get through these gadgets is worth carrying around an extra half a kilogram. In addition, the company Icebuck also offers shoes with small spikes already incorporated in the soles of the shoes itself. And now, drumroll please, tip number 10. Last but not least, please make sure that you do everything you can to maintain a good and constant volume in your residual limb and thus have a proper fit of the prosthesis. In other words, drink enough to keep the volume of the stump constant, possibly get a new seal-in lip for the liner if you're wearing a liner system, or play around with kinesio tape and other DIY tricks. I personally find a precise positioning of the foot essential, especially in winter. And this requires a very well-fitting socket. Good, so much for that. These were all my tips. I hope there was something for everyone. And now it's time to grab some winter clothes, grab a flask with hot tea or coffee, and head out into Mother Nature. Winter is a great time of the year, even for amputees. I hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the new episodes. And I would really appreciate it if you leave me a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to learn more about The Active Amputee, make sure to head over to www.theactiveamputee.org, where you find hundreds of articles from amputees for amputees. Articles filled with inspiration, information and encouragement to be active and live a rewarding life. I see you all again for the next episode. Until then, all the best. This is Bjorn from The Active Amputee.